You're entering the Side Mission Podcast. Three friends that love gaming and love experiencing original content and old school classics give their thoughts on the latest releases and newest topics in the gaming industry. Power up and let's get started.
Welcome in, everyone, to the newest episode of Side Mission. I, like always, am your host, the captain of the ship, Rusty Ellis, joined by the boys, Kyle Lynch, Matt Beck, and today we're talking about Resident Evil Village? Aidage? I don't know. Apparently it's pronounced Village. I don't know. Anyways, we're going to be talking about Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 8, the newest game in the Resident Evil franchise. I think we've all had really positive experiences with it so far. I know I have. I know you both have played a lot more than I have because, well, work's had me busy. But I think that there's a lot of positivity around this game, and I haven't seen us think a lot of negative thoughts, so we'll go ahead and just dive right in. Kyle, you're the real veteran here of Resident Evil. I know you played a lot of the originals. You've played a lot of the remakes that have come out. Tell me, where do you think so far Village stacks up in terms of Resident Evil games?
For me personally, Village is very high up there. It's pretty... I gotta say, this game balances the amount of action and the amount of horror. I have to commend Capcom for scaring the daylights out of me during the Dollmakers level, because I can't think of another game where I have felt so helpless and defenseless and terrified. But at the same time, like, it's, you know, it's what we wanted. This is a horror game, and so much on the horror aspect that, I mean, I gotta say, I wasn't expecting to like this game as much as I did. I didn't think that it was gonna be up there with, you know, like Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2 is probably my favorite out of the series, and this game is right up there with it because it just really, really delivers on everything I wanted out of this game. I mean, there's just so much to talk about here. The visuals are stunning. The gameplay is so smooth. I think one of my favorite mechanics in the game is when you're in the castle and you start being hunted by Lady Dimitrescu. It really gave me Resident Evil 2 Mr. X vibes when he would just walk around and hunt you, because you'd open a door, and there he is. And that's how it was when you were being hunted by Lady Dimitrescu. It was so terrifying when she would just show up somewhere, and now you gotta book it because she's gonna kill you. This game is phenomenal. I loved it.
No, not tall vampire lady. Don't talk about her like that. That's my favorite part of the game. I'm just kidding. Okay, but realistically, I do agree with you. I think that the castle area it feels like, you know, hardcore Resident Evil. When it comes to puzzles, when it comes to just the amount of scares, when it comes to just that feeling you get in Resident Evil games. I've said often that my critique of Resident Evil 7 Biohazard was always that I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great game. It's a solid, like, 8.5 out of 10 game. I did feel that at certain points it played it a little safe. And, I mean, that's amongst other criticisms about how the game wraps up. But I agree with you in every aspect. They really seem like in this game that if Resident Evil 7 was them playing it safe, this one, they've decided that all the chips are on the table. They are playing everything they have. They're throwing out everything they can at you. Matt, I want to ask you if you think this is an accurate comparison, because I know that we talked about this a little bit when we first started the game. A lot of people have said that if Biohazard was similar to Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 2, maybe even Resident Evil 3 somewhat, that Village is very similar to Resident Evil 4. Do you see that comparison, and do you think that's a good comparison for a game like this?
I see the comparison where it comes to the fact that Resident Evil 4 was such a drastic evolution of the series, where we went from a single camera angle, stationary camera angle, to what we got was a third-person game with Resident Evil 4, and it really upped a lot of, you know, the ante here, became more action than what we were used to with the first three Resident Evil games. And Resident Evil 8, if I was going to say, definitely did that from its counterpart, Resident Evil 7. It still kept intact the kind of, you know, first person view that we got. You know, you don't get to see your character, you just get to see his hands, and we'll get back to that later.
Yes, we will.
And this game is probably the perfect, you know, blend of what we got with Resident Evil 7, and then it decided to kind of bring back a little bit more of that action coming from Resident Evil 4, and, you know, carried on from the series before Resident Evil 7 came out. It still has that kind of haunted house horror that we got from 7. You still have, you know, in 7 when you're in the house and Jack is, like, walking around. And a legitimate fear that I know people have is being watched, being stalked, being chased. And when you get to the castle in this game, that's the exact feeling you get. Like, if you weren't a really good pair of headphones with this game, hearing the footsteps coming from, you know, big, tall, gothic vampire lady, Dimitrescu. That's the same kind of feeling you got with Jack. And, like, I would find myself just chilling in a room being like, okay, I know I'm going to walk out this door. I'm going to see either, like, one of her three daughters or her walking around. And, like, the game is just, it pulls it off flawlessly. And this is what I really wanted to see with Evolution of the series, because we saw the potential with Resident Evil 7. And I really think that they finally got that perfect blend of, you know, a real horror game with jump scares, you know, perfect sound design that really adds to the atmosphere, which is another great thing about this game, is the atmosphere is incredible. I love, you know, gothic horror, and they put that in this game, and it did it very well. And there's a lot of variety in the levels. It's not stale, like how I felt Resident Evil 7 to me kind of got stale, because you were in that Louisiana setting with, like, an old, you know, old house in the bayou, and then you're in a swamp. And this game, you know, it still keeps gothic horror with each different section that you go through, and it keeps it, like, very well, you know, together, and everything flows so great together. So just, I can understand the comparisons to 4 just because of the evolution of the series, and I definitely think that Capcom is finally going in the right direction with the series.
I think that Capcom has really figured something out here. I'm not quite sure what it is it took from, you know, I think obviously everybody agrees that with Resident Evil 6, the biggest issue was that it became a full-on action game. That was the biggest issue with 6, and I think all three of us agree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the problem they had then was that, okay, we need to figure out what it is that fans want. Ultimately, what fans wanted from Resident Evil was pretty simple. They just wanted a game that was a good horror game mixed with some action elements, okay? I know a lot of people that consider Resident Evil 4 to be the best game in the franchise. I know a lot of other people that think the first three, any one of those, could also lay claim to that, because just the horror aspect of it all is just what they think definitive Resident Evil is. Ultimately, where 5 and 6 really missed the mark was just going a little too, like, heavy-handed with the action, kind of just making it a little too action-heavy. But this game finds that balance. And, I think what Matt said was accurate about 7 is that it does get a little stale at some point, especially in the latter part of the game where you get a machine gun. I didn't really feel like that was needed. I feel like the pistol and the shotgun were more than enough. I don't really think you need a machine gun at this point in the game, but again, that's just the decision they made there. I think that this game has that balance, though, because there are certainly some horrifying moments. I mean, the first time you're attacked by a lichen, that's terrifying. That is one of the biggest jump scares in the game. But I will say this, and I told Kyle this when I first started playing this game. One thing I like about this game versus 7, this one felt very more story-focused. It felt very much like you were progressing towards a goal. And in Resident Evil 7, it felt like early on when you find Mia in the Dolby residence, it just kind of felt like there was no real clear end goal. You know, it felt like the end goal the whole time was to, let's escape the mansion, let's escape the bayou. Well, the problem is that along the way, there's just no real, I guess, smaller goals that, like, build you to that. obviously you're working to get into other rooms and to scrounge for ammo, scrounge for supplies to create med kits and all that. And we'll get to med kits and what they're able to do in this game in a second, because, ooh-wee, they're able to do a lot. But I think that this game, it goes from, okay, you need to figure out where your daughter is. Okay, now we need to get to this residence because maybe they'll have answers. Okay, now we need to go and get into the castle because they're being, or because maybe the our daughter's held there. Okay, they're not there. Okay, so we need to explore these other areas to figure out where she is. But there's clear and obvious objectives. And I feel like the structure of this game, it beats Resident Evil 7 to a pulp. Along with being, again, more story-focused, more narrative-driven. I feel like as a whole, they really nailed that feeling of it. And Matt stole everything I was going to say about atmosphere, because atmosphere, this is one of the best games in terms of this is how you do a gothic atmosphere. This is how you let the setting of the game tell the story. This is how you do all of that, because I think this game does that fantastically. And I think we'd be remiss, and I'll let Kyle kind of go into more of this here. I think we'd be remiss, Kyle, if we didn't talk about the visuals in this game, because this game, especially in its best moments outside, when you're looking at just the landscape as a whole, this game is beautiful.
I got this on PS5 because I knew that it was going to look amazing. And I am so blown away by how good this... I mean, this game feels like a next-gen game to me. The ray tracing is so nice. And
oh, Lord, this dude's back on ray tracing.
Dude, I'm telling you, in a lot of the dark-lit areas where you've just got torches on the wall, it's so beautiful where you're going through just, you know, just looking at all the light particles that are... They're not just a still image on the wall. Like, you can actually see the light moving around. It's just so captivating sometimes. Looking at just the environment itself, there's one point in the game where you come outside and you're kind of up on a mountain and it's daytime and you just see the whole landscape and it's just so beautiful. I was blown away with how great this game looks. I could not have asked for anything better. It's so good.
So, Kyle, I'll ask you then, because, again, you're kind of the Resident Evil guy here. Do you see the comparisons to 4? Do you think that that's a good comparison for this game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This game definitely has a lot more action, especially towards the end of the game. It is a lot of just run and gun. It gets crazy. But I don't hate that. I honestly kind of enjoyed it, because... Throughout most of the game, there are, you know, they make you feel, you know, just defenseless against these big bads. And, you know, right at the very end, you've got this crazy arsenal of weapons that you've built up, and you finally just get to unload on just so many enemies. And you just feel like a big bad yourself, you know. You just took down all these bosses, and you're just mowing down waves and waves of enemies. And it's honestly a lot of fun. But I feel like that's where a lot of people are making the connections to Resident Evil 4, because this game is so much more action-packed than 7 was. And Resident Evil 4 was, like Matt said, a big moment for the Resident Evil franchise, because that's where they started, you know, getting into more of the action. And then I feel like that's, you know, it became a little bit more difficult for them to kind of balance the horror and action. And they kind of started going a little bit too much into, you know, it almost became a shooter game and not a horror game. And this game, I feel like, perfectly balanced what they've been trying to do with the previous installments. And I really, really hope to see them continue to use this same formula and beef it up and make it better.
So my question is then this. And Matt, we'll start with you on this, because obviously, I mean, Kyle just got done talking, so I'll give you a chance here. What do we feel about the length of this game? Because I've seen a lot of conflicting reports that say, you can beat it in about 9 hours, you can beat it in about 12 to 15 hours. And I don't know, I guess personally for me, I guess maybe I was hoping for a little bit longer of a game than that. I was hoping for a game that might take 20 to 30 hours to beat. Matt, you've played, like I said, a little bit more than me. Do you feel like the pacing in this game is good? Do you feel like the timing of everything works? What are your thoughts as to if that's how long this game is, let's say 12 hours, because that's a happy medium, do you think that's a good length for this game?
Well, I do think that the game could have been longer, but it definitely didn't outstay its welcome. I mean, by the time I got done beating the game, I was pretty satisfied with the length. But it does kind of drop in quality, I'm not going to lie, at the midpoint around the game, because you just kind of fully understand, you know, what you're doing. And then luckily the game has such beautiful, you know, level design, and, you know, the puzzles are, I think that's kind of where I kind of like, you know, with every door is locked, every item that you interact with needs to have another object, combine objects. And I mean, that's a classic Resident Evil formula, which I know is not one of my favorites from the past game. So seeing that kind of make a comeback was a little kind of, off-putting for me, but, with the length of the game, I am not trying to say that I wish that they didn't take it in the direction that they did, but I did have some complaints with it, with the whole, you know, it just felt very cookie cutter in the whole. You have all these, you know, different, I'm just going to say levels, these stages that you have to go through, and it's kind of a wash, rinse, repeat sort of thing, because you know that you're looking for a specific item to progress to the next set. So once you find that, and it's like, well, you get the key to the next area, and it just follows that same formula that a lot of games tend to follow. And then the story gets really excited in the beginning, and then you're excited to go through it. And then you get to a certain point where you're just kind of like, all right, I'm ready for it to end. I'm ready for it to be over. But it does throw kind of a twist at you at the end, which made it a little exciting to get closer there to the end. But yeah, I'll say that I think that they could have done a little bit more kind of in the midsection of the game. It did kind of drop off in like how much action was going on, but I really appreciate the second stage because it's not so much focused on action, but it's the perfect formula of horror, which is what I love to see in games like this, because Resident Evil in my heart will always be a horror survival game, not a horror action game.
Okay, I've got to be honest here. I'm a little confused. Okay, so does the game outstay its welcome or doesn't it? Because you kind of just, you said it, I feel like you said it didn't, and then you kind of said that at some point you were ready for it to end. So I'm kind of confused there.
Oh, yeah, let me rephrase that right quick. Pretty much what I mean is the fact that it does outstay its welcome. It does to me. I feel like it could have been shorter, but I mean, I don't want anyone to go and buy this game and thinking it's too short, because it's not too short. I think it's the perfect length, but it's like, it does get to the point where it kind of like, okay, I am ready for it to be over though.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Anyways, Kyle, tell me what, I know you've talked about something you didn't enjoy in the game, and that was the fact that once you leave an area, you can't really go back. Please elaborate on that and kind of talk about like what you think about that. You've gotten to the end of the game. Do you still feel that way, or what do you think about that whole mechanic?
Up until I beat the game, I did not like that. I wanted to be able to go back and get all the collectibles that I missed. However, upon beating the game and now replaying it, I understand a little bit more why it is the way it is and why the game is the length that it is. Because I feel as though this game is meant to be played multiple times over, because there are new things to do. There is an end game shop that you get opened up to that you get credits for, where you can unlock new content. You can unlock, you know, just all this different stuff. So it encourages you to go and beat the game again and try, you know, and get all the collectibles another time or a third time. And now whether or not that works, I'm not entirely sure, because I feel as though after my second playthrough, I'm honestly just replaying for the collectibles. I feel like I will not want to play it again unless I'm going for the platinum. And Now that I've been, I gotta say, I don't dislike the fact that you cannot go back to other areas, because had I been able to do that, I would not have replayed this game at all. I would have gone back to those areas, I would have gotten all the collectibles, and that just would have been it. I never would have replayed the game. And now it's giving me a greater appreciation for the game, because once you've done everything, it took me no time to beat the entire castle level, even getting 100%, in all the rooms, getting all the collectibles and stuff. It didn't take me that long, and I feel like this playthrough, I could probably beat the game in 6 hours or less. So the length, I feel like the first playthrough is, at some point it does get a little bit long. But the second time through, it's going to be so much faster. And then the third time, dude, you'll be beating it in 3 hours and speedruns on YouTube, before you know it, because you know all the puzzles, you know where all the enemies are. It's pretty just straightforward at that point.
Yeah, I really wanted to get your thoughts on that whole, when you can't go back to another area. I said this because I think both of you kind of, I don't want to say complained about it, because that just sounds kind of childish, but that was a negative for you both. The whole time for me, I just kind of looked at it as that forces you to be more thorough. It forces you, when you're exploring, to actually explore every nook and cranny of an area, and it forces you to actually make sure that you swept through everywhere. I mean, Kyle, we talked about that light puzzle that I found that you didn't find on your first playthrough. And neither one of us, and you had no idea what I was talking about when I brought the puzzle up, and I don't even want to talk about that puzzle because it was stupid. But anyways, yeah, I think I would prefer the game's time be used a little bit more wisely. I mean, I think that, again, a game could be longer, and I think you could use the time a little bit more wiser. I'm still kind of trying to piece together what Matt said, because it sounded like he said something the first time, and then he, recanted the whole thing when I asked for clarification. But as a whole, I know that we've kind of critiqued the game these last couple of minutes. I know that we can all safely say that we really enjoy this game. So ultimately, Kyle, start with you, then we'll go to Matt, then we'll come back to me. Where do you think this game ultimately will stack up when we look here in December at, end-of-the-year games?
I think that this game, if they give us, a little bit of DLC like they did with Resident Evil 7 just to make it last the rest of the year, I think this game could be in the running for Game of the Year just because of how popular it is, being a Resident Evil game and being as good of a Resident Evil game as it was. However, we have a lot of really good games that, are supposed to be coming out this year, and I'm not entirely sure that this game will be as remembered as some of the other ones because, for example, when we're getting some of these other games that are coming out, these new exclusives that are coming out, hopefully we'll see Halo Infinite, hopefully we'll see, a lot of new PlayStation exclusives, but a lot of them are going to be longer campaigns. We're looking, 20, 30-hour campaigns, and I feel like those games are going to be so much more remembered because it wasn't beaten in 9 hours on your first playthrough. And you had to spend so much more time, and you got so much more appreciation for the game itself because, you had to work so much harder to get to that end result. And I really don't know. I think that this game has an argument to be in Game of the Year. However, we really have some strong contenders for it, and we'll have to see.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of hard to say right now just because of the fact that we do not know what games are going to be announced. We got E3 in about less than a month right now, so it could be anyone's game. But for me, Resident Evil 8 Village, it's going to stand out. I don't think it's going to fall under the same curse that games that get released early on in the year that tend to be forgotten about because the fact that this year has been so slow on game releases, we've had several good games coming out, but Resident Evil Village is probably like one of the most, anticipated games that was announced last year it was. So it's definitely not going to be forgotten. It's going to be remembered by Resident Evil fans alike, and I think even people who don't necessarily consider themselves like Resident Evil fans. But if they did play this game, and I do hope they enjoyed it, so I can see it being there in like game of the year contender. But it's just really hard to say due to the fact that we still don't know what's coming out. We know we still got sequels to Horizon Zero Dawn. We still got Halo Infinite. We still got whatever Sony's got planned to announce, whatever Microsoft, whatever Nintendo's got planned to announce. Just nobody has shown the cards yet. They're still got their hand up. We don't know what they have in store for us, but Resident Evil Village is going to be definitely a Game of the Year contender, at least in my opinion.
Okay, you had me with half of that statement, and you lost me with the other half. So the half that I do agree with, I say, I think this is the front runner so far. I think this is 100% the front runner so far, and I don't think it's particularly close. I think that when I look at games that have come out so far this year, I mean, Hitman 3 was good. Not arguing that. It was good, but I don't know if it was Game of the Year material. I think it was a really, really good game, but not quite there. And then new Pokemon Snap is the other one, and to be honest, I don't think that deserves to be in the conversation. I don't. So the part I disagree with, and this is as a sports person who literally projecting is part of my job, it is never too early to actually start looking at that stuff because we have a lot of announcements as far as what is coming out this year. Now, there are some we are still awaiting on confirmation of, but we know for the most part what we're getting this year. So I think at this point it is safe to say this will be in that conversation. It's safe to make that statement. So I will make that statement now, and you can go and you can clip this moment. Resident Evil Village will be a contender for Game of the Year at the end of the year in December, and we'll revisit this statement later because I am actually interested, and I'm going to enjoy being right. So with that being said, thank you for listening to this episode. I know it's been... I think I like the fact that we actually dove in a little more critical on this. I like this. We need to do this more often instead of just talking and kissing up to these game developers. So for Kyle Lynch, Matt Beck, I'm Rusty Ellis. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Side Mission Pod and our YouTube channel, Side Mission Podcast. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Side Mission Podcast. Keep up with new episodes and download your favorites in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.